You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Executive lounge time is upon us once again. This is a segment where we take a look at the life of some of our leading executives in and around the world, and we have the privilege of getting to know them a little bit better than what we might know about their day-to-day work lives. I'm joined this week by the executive director at Rodin School, Lindi Dlamini. Good evening, Lindi. Thanks so much for the time. Lovely to speak to you. Your career is nothing short of trailblazing. I mean, from law to financial services to being the first black woman to be the executive director of Rodin in 120 years. Take me through the journey. Take me through your life experiences.
Thank you for having me. It's been an interesting time, I might say. I think if I had tried to chart the path when I started my career, I certainly wouldn't have imagined that I would be here. I had the wonderful experience of finishing my second law degree on the dawn of democracy. So in 1994, when we voted in the first democratic elections, I was finishing my LLB. Not too long after, I was to join Liberty as a legal advisor. I spent 17 wonderful years there, where I went through different departments, different divisions, into the healthcare side of the business, risk management, quality assurance, eventually looking after operations. And from there, I went to Alexander Forbes as managing director of retail. I've spent some time at PPS as group HR executive. I've spent some time as CEO of Safrican. And then a wonderful opportunity while I was deciding to progress the non-executive part of my career. And I was asked to be the inaugural CEO of the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund when it was launched by President Cyril Ramaphosa. And I spent 2 years there. And when I'd finished my contract, I was approached for this opportunity to lead Rodin, which I thought was so left field and so far removed from what I was used to in financial services. And yet in many ways, I think all the things that I had done had led me to this part of my career, because as a black female in South Africa, in these corporate boardrooms, obviously, one goes through a lot. You go through the discrimination. You go through this endless quest for gender equality. And the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Fund was a big part of conscientization of the work that's happening in the development world. And so it was apt to move into a space where one can shape and play a role in an iconic historical institution that develops young girls and prepares them for a life of significance. And I eventually figured, I think that this is the right time and place and space for me to spend this time in my career.
Lindi, you mentioned that you've done a bit of board work and non-executive work there. You still sit on a number of boards beyond what your day-to-day is with Rodin. How is that? How do you balance that? What is that like to be involved in so many different spaces all at once?
It's stimulating. I think it keeps me young. I am a non-executive at African Bank. I am a non-executive at FNZ, which is a South African company that's part of FNZ Group, headquartered in the UK, and I am a director at BP South Africa. I think the two financial services ones keep me linked to the origins of my career and keep me connected to that side of it. The time that I spend at the school keeps me focused on the quest of raising up a new generation of leaders. But the corporate side of it, I think, is important, because staying connected to that world means that one is constantly aware of what it is that we need from future leaders. But these are also partners that support the business of education and development. And that's an important part of what I do at Rodin, to work with partners who will enhance the work that we do as sponsors, as donors, but also to highlight this wonderful space. And we have a lot of luminaries whose children go to school or have gone to school at Rodin. So I balanced all of these. And fortunately, when I was contracted for this role, being the first non-academic to lead the school, I think that the board was conscious of the fact that at this point of my career, I would be involved in these things. And so I was contracted with the view to me continuing with these. It requires a lot of time management, a lot of balance, a lot of discipline, but that's not something I'm unaccustomed to.
Lindy, tell me about the presidential call-up, that the national call-up to lead an inaugural fund, obviously of such significant importance, that tied in with all of your years of work, as you mentioned, in the boardroom space. Tell me about that conversation and that phone call and the feeling of realizing that all of your hard work up to that point had been noticed.
The woman who called me up is part of the International Women's Forum for South Africa. The International Women's Forum SA had partnered with the president around this initiative. They'd been the midwife, so to speak. We'd already had a presidential summit on gender-based violence and femicide, and one of the resolutions had been the fact that a fund has to be set up to fund this work of fighting the deadly scourge. We know that we see higher levels of violence against women despite having a wonderfully progressive constitution. We experience one of the highest levels of violence against women. One in five women are killed by intimate partners. One in three women experience domestic violence. And so when I initially got the call, I was asked to caretake the fund for 3 months while they looked for a CEO. The next day I met with the board, and the board said, no, actually, can we sign you up for 2 years? And as a citizen, as a mother of a daughter, I'd given a lot of thought to how the women of 1956 had shaped so much of the democratic space that we now enjoy, the constitutional freedom that we now enjoy. And having had an enjoyable corporate career, I had reached the point where I really was asking myself, what is our contribution? And seeing the state of things, one constantly concerned oneself with, are we that generation that will launch its careers at the dawn of democracy and yet see the gains that have been made for the liberation of women and gender equality in corporate spaces? Freedom to move in social circles without worrying about violence. Are we that generation that's going to see that? So I was keen to make a contribution, very, very different space to work in because it was a multi-sectoral space. You're working with the Office of the President, you're working with the Department of Social Development, the Department of Women, you're working with civil society organizations, corporates. We had a specific project with the SAPS, so very, very varied stakeholders, a lot of media work as well, because we had public accountability, given the fact that this fund had been set up while the government puts in place the national fund that it will put in place to fund these initiatives. So it is a space I was honored to be in, and which I enjoyed despite all its difficulties. It did highlight some of the things that were close to my heart, the experience of everyday women, how we use responsibly our voices as women who have access to platforms, who sit at boardrooms, and how do we enrich the experience of other women around us? How do we use these platforms to make the lives of ordinary women, of girls, of people in the rural landscape? How do we illuminate this problem? And how do we work together? All of us have a responsibility to work together to conquer this deadly scourge that is such a stain on our wonderful country.
Lindy, when you're not changing the world, how do you wind down?
I love to travel. I love to read. I love to spend time with friends. I'm a great believer in mentorship, so I like to mentor young ladies. But I also like to spend time with young ladies because You know, life has changed, and your worldview is not necessarily consistent with the experience and times of their lives. And I find that mentorship can be a two-way process where you are learning from your mentees, your proteges, and younger leadership. I believe a lot in, as a leader, learning from younger leaders as well. So that's what I like to spend my time doing. My wanderlust tendencies have been curtailed quite a bit post-COVID, and I've found that I've traveled mostly for work, but hopefully we will remedy that situation soon.
In all of your travels, Lindy, what's been your favorite meal that you've enjoyed?
Ah, there's no meal like the meals back here at home. You know, funny, I was listening to a podcast, and the question was being asked, if you were to live with one culture's food for the rest of your life, which would you choose? So I found myself thinking about this yesterday. I love our local cuisine, but I'm partial to Thai food as well. I really like Thai food, especially when enjoyed in Thailand itself. But African food, nothing comes close.
Nothing comes close. That's lovely to hear, especially from a traveled individual such as yourself, that South Africa still comes out top of that list. Lindy, when you come home and you spend time with your daughter, what's the go-to movie that you two enjoy?
Would you believe that it's Friends, the series Friends? I would never have thought it. I watched it myself 20 years ago. And believe it or not, she's hooked on it. So we do watch that together. We've watched Blood and Water, that series, together. But I'm not a great lover of commitment. And so when commitment to watching anything that's on TV, so when the series comes to an end and we can't binge watch anymore, I disengage until it returns. So we've watched those two together and really enjoyed them when my husband is not trying to pull us into National Geographic and all of those kind of interesting documentaries.
Certainly makes for a good bonding experience. If you could revisit one of your international travels and you could revisit one particular destination with the family, where would you go?
Oh, wow. Isn't that a question? Do you know, I would like to travel Africa with my family a bit more than we have. And in particular, Ghana, Uganda, Kenya. I would like to visit those with my family. We've visited sub-Saharan Africa quite a bit, and I want to venture further up north. I think that the international trips were well and good as part of a learning experience. There's nothing like this continent. I'm bonded to this continent, and I want my kids to learn and understand this continent better than I've given them the opportunity to date.
Lindy, what's one thing that your co-workers might not know about you, whether it's the team at Rodin, whether it's the boards that you sit on? What's the one thing they'd be surprised to learn about you?
I think they'd be surprised to hear I knitted my way through varsity exams. So every exam, just to de-stress, I knitted something, whether it was a jersey or a blanket or something. It's a wonderful de-stressor for me, and nobody's ever seen me do it in my corporate career. So I think that would be surprising that I have this boring but creative side of me.
Well, we all need some way to express ourselves and to deal with the stresses that come with varsity, especially if you're an alumni of Wits University. But thank you so much, Lindy. Thank you for the time. Thank you for letting us get to know you a little bit better and for sharing so much of yourself with us. That's Lindy Dlamini, who is the executive director at Rodin School, joining me for this week's Executive Lounge segment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.